This is the BBC. We present the golden tones of yours and my favorite singer. Oh, my beloved daddy, I love him, yes, I do.
Shut that great steaming porridge muncher. And give the listeners the new low in Goon Show Plus.
We present the awesome, fearful, and, on the admission of the authors, incomprehensible story of
Scrudge.
Next bit.
Yes, listeners. Those mysterious explosions were the first of many. It is that story we tell tonight. Mr. Sleathrons?
Klimich.
Twins go.
Agthagnun.
Well, hurry up then.
Clinch. It was in the autumn of 19 Quintiquad, the year Major Bloodnock was discharged from the army.
Yes, it was the usual. Cowardice in the face of Ensa. Found dressed as a woman in the ATF barracks.
Lies, all lies, you hear. It was carnival night, I tell you.
Please, Major Bloodnock. My name is Jampton, Captain Hugh Jampton. I remember at the time, both Bloodnock and Lord Seagun became members of the Athenaeum Club, Glasshouse Street.
Thank you. Gad, you waltz divinely, my darling. What's your name?
Bloodnock. Dennis Bloodnock.
Gad! I hardly recognize you in that tartan beard.
I wear it for sentimental reasons. You see, it belonged to my mother. Great naked kippers. Me boots have exploded.
Gad, yes! Major! How could you? Look! Your old Etonian socks have got holes in them.
Yes, I know, but I have to wear them. You see, they belong to my mother. But look at me boots. They've had it, lad.
There, Bloodnock. I wonder what could have caused them to go so quickly.
I'll tell you what's happened to them, buddy. Your boots exploded because you've been doing all that sinful chalcening and modern or rhythm-type dancing, buddy.
Madam Bannister, what are you doing off the bandstand? Get back to your saxophone at once. You can't leave Mr. Cran up there alone with that loaded E-flat carpet loom.
He can't play it. I put the safety catch on. Now, next dance, please, boys.
Stop that pulsating melody singing, madam. Yes, stop it. Stop it. You've got my feet tapping in a frenzy, a frenetic rhythm.
Great knobbly plates of toes. Oh, your boots have exploded. Oh.
With the exploding of his boots, Seagun realized that something sinister was afoot. With the aid of a 129A bus and several lengths of road, he took his shattered boots to the strolling Home Office pathologist, who carefully patholed them.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Are they dead, Doctor?
I'm afraid, sir. We did all we could, but I'm afraid the welt was too far gone.
My poor beloved boots. Gone. Gone and never called me mother.
Never mind, madam. I tell you what, I'll keep these boots.
Wow! Good heavens! The buttons of my boots have exploded. I say, what's going to happen?
Dear listeners, with the exploding of those boot buttons, I decided it was time for action. Brooking no delay, I caught the next hockey stick factory up to London, where I called a meeting of England's leading scientists.
Gentlemen, please.
Cease these impressions of stars of stage, screen, and labor exchange. And now pray silence for his excellent shortness, Lord Neddy Seagun, sixth in succession from the Muswell Hill tube station.
Hurry up, mate, hurry up. We scientists is busy men, mate, I tell you. Hurry up.
I know, mate. I'm fully aware, but I've called you here to find the reason for these mysterious boot explosions. Now, has anyone any suggestions? No. I don't think it's that.
I tell you, Lord Seagun, it's the work of a practical joker.
Gentlemen and fellows of the Royal College of Charlies.
The voice came from a cadaverous stranger who peered down at us from the top of an isosceles triangle.
Yes, it belonged to my mother. Gentlemen, Lord Seagun is not alone. There are other victims of these mysterious boot explosions.
May we ask why your friend is wearing bare feet and a black cardboard jewelry?
He is Monsieur le Comte Frederick Jim Moriarty of the House of Frat. Tell him the story, Comte.
C'est bon. Monsieur de Gabille, Madame, Monsieur. Monsieur de Gabille, Monsieur de Gabille, Monsieur de Gabille. Monsieur de Gabille, Monsieur de Gabille, Monsieur de Gabille. Monsieur de Gabille, Monsieur de Gabille. Je dis, Monsieur Cadaban, c'est de mon taxi. Vous avez dit que ce qu'on chante, allez-y. Monsieur de Capigui, oh, le café Fred, vous êtes debi. Vous êtes comme un chèque romantique, mais c'est comment entrer. Garçon, j'ai la capacité de grand chèque de Saint-Mablu. Ça, Capigui, on s'est dans la table, monsieur Marais.
Bonsoir, monsieur.
Oh, 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 oh.
Gentlemen, need he say more? Each one of him can tell a similar story. Tragedy. The Count will now pass amongst you, his fellow scientists, with a collecting box and a professional strangler.
Oh, blimey, I'm off.
To cover the screams of dying Scotsmen, here is Max Geldry.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Gentlemen, that voluntary collection for the victim Moriarty amounted to 4 and 9 pence in pennies. Many from this country.
Mr.
Thin. Professor Thin, the strolling anchorman for the Pension District Tug of War team, and fruit butler extraordinary to the House of Chatterley.
Thank you.
Gamekeeper.
Thank you very much indeed. You didn't say what this collection was for.
Money. My dear short sir, these accumulated monies, this 4 and 9 pence, will be used for vital scientific purposes such as food, rent, laundry, and...
But we want a solution to these mysterious boot explosions.
Ah, well, that will be extra.
My dear Professor Thin, the expense is no object at all.
What?
I'll just sign this blank wall. There. Fill in the bricks yourself.
It's very, very kind of you. I'll cash it to the Building Society. Count, will you explain the phenomena, please?
Certainement. Gentlemen, these boot explosions are caused by a weakening in Britain's deposits of scrudge.
Scrudge? Did you say scrudge, the new?
Certainement. Scrudge is a substance found beneath the Earth's surface. This scrudge radiates upwards, keeping level with the Gulf Stream, and keeps the pressure on the Earth's surface at an even level, thus preventing boots from exploding. Unfortunately, Britain's scrudge deposits are rapidly losing their potency, with the results that have now become apparent.
I've hardly eaten such a lot of rubbish since I left the House of Commons. Scrudge, indeed. If you think I'd believe one word of that...
Great green squirts of Gringe. He's exploded completely.
Indeed, the Scottish gentleman had disintegrated. From then on, the boot explosions became fiercer.
Up to now, I had not believed Moriarty's story of scrudge. But now, it was obviously true.
Yes, Britain had to find fresh scrudge deposits or explode one by one.
The Home Secretary sent a warning on the wireless.
Good evening. I'm speaking to you about these boot explosions. We, the government, are doing all in our power to rectify this grave scrudge deficiency which apparently exists. Until then, the British public must take the following precautions. To prevent yourselves exploding, remove your boots, reverse the buttons on your socks, and walk backwards holding a gas stove above your head. I do hope this is only a temporary measure. Good night.
We return you now to Scrudge Part 3.
On the suggestion of Professor Thin and Moriarty, the government financed a Scrudge expedition, myself in charge, armed with an elephant boot protractor.
Yes, I took charge of the money and directed operations from the treacherous Camp 3, just north of Monte Carlo.
Which way have you sent those Charlies on the scrudge expedition?
Well, right now they should be nearing the North Pole and certain death.
Must. Get along, you hairy little doggies.
Good work, Bradnock. You're a born leader of dogs.
Yes, I used to be a boxer, you know.
Mother of the Sphinx.
Ah, here comes the doctor.
Hello.
How are the men?
Oh, fine.
Any cases of frozen feet?
You didn't order any cases of frozen feet.
Well, we'll have to get along without them, that's all.
But we've got to eat, Seagoon.
Okay, I'll put them in the oven.
Shut up, you idiot.
Shut up, gentlemen, please. We're here to find scrudge, not to fight. Now, think of those poor people in England walking backwards with their boots off, carrying gas stoves above their heads. Now, lower those fudge replicas of the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, I don't
know. Come along, Eccles. Drop that Eiffel Tower.
You.
I was sitting on the top of the Eiffel Tower, eating my East Finchley Boy Scout type lunch, when Wongy, Blong, Blat, Splurgy, Sludgeloon. And then Clout on the Nut jumps up, says, "Oh," says I.
Dom!
It's silly old
echo. Silly old... Oh, here you are. Oh, I'm not silly anymore. I'm the doctor.
Shut up, Echo! Shut up, Echo!
I'm the doctor in this game.
Oh, a doctor?
Yeah.
Hey, do you do operations?
Nope, but we all got to start sometime. Now lay down.
Yeah, no. Mind what you're doing with that sharp sausage knife. Harm can come to a young lad like that.
And foolish, he hasn't long to be.
Here, stop cutting the hole in my shirt.
Don't be frightened. I'm only looking around.
You'd better not then.
Oh, let me see.
What?
I won't touch anything.
Well, don't, because that's all new stuff in there.
Daddy. Oh. Oh, here. Watch this.
That's Ray Ellington in his quartet.
Some girls don't seem to realize why love passes by before their eyes and never seems to stay. So listen now to my advice. Stop your tears, forget your sighs. That's nice. Listen what I have to say. Hold him tight, hold him strong. Tell him a story, sing him a song. But never, 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 never let him go. Love him by day, love him by night. And all the way just say that it's right. It helps. Helps to hold him tight. Laugh at his jokes, though they may be old. Tell him he's smart, handsome and bold. Give him affection, say his perfection. Remember patience in every direction. Always be on his side. When it's cloudy, when it's bright, never give up, stick and fight. That's how to keep him and hold him tight. Say his perfection. Remember patience in every direction. Always be by his side. When it's cloudy and when it's bright, never give up, stick and fight. That's how to keep him and hold him tight. Hold him tight. Hold him tight.
The scratch, the part, the plinge. On and on pressed the scratch Arctic expedition, following the route charted by the famous Dr. Eccles to the North Pole.
Dad, it's hot at the pole for this time of the year.
Yes, yes, I've never known it so hot.
Blast these Arctic mosquitoes.
Budnock, how far are we from the pole now?
Just 3 inches.
Ah, Gad, we'll never make it before nightfall.
Well, we shall have to stop here.
Yes. I know, let us try and erect some sort of rude shelter.
You build the walls and I'll write on them. Not you, tonic you.
I don't wish to know that.
I'm a happy-go-lucky lad, no.
Wait!
What?
Platok, there's a pyramid.
What?
Let's see if they can put us up for the night. I'll do the talking.
I'll do the silences.
I know I can rely on you. Knock, knock!
Who's there?
Cohen!
Oh, no.
Cohen, you put us up for the night. I like working these little jokes.
Well, you can work that one for a start.
Nene, shut that naughty, hairy pyramid door.
Good heavens! It's Cronan Bannister. What are you doing here?
Oh, special job, buddy.
Yes, Mr. Thine pays us a goodly sum to mix Futo, the wonder boot exploder, into boot polish that is then exported to England.
Good heavens! What a fiendish plot!
Yes, I wonder who wrote it.
Of course! Those boot explosions were deliberately caused by this mixture of Futo and boot polish. There's no such thing as scratch.
The naughty men. They've got all the expedition money.
They won't keep that money for long, lads.
You're not a long lad. You won't get any.
Shut up. Hand me my saxophone. Oh, that's better. Now. Who can drive a pyramid?
Me drive pyramid, mate.
Right. Drive us to Monte Carlo. Hop!
In the huge pyramid with its powerful 2000 BC engine, the Avengers of the Scradge hoax fraud were soon seeking out Moriarty and Crippipe Finn, who was sipping the most expensive cooking-type sherry.
Don't rock the hammock so much, Moriarty. You'll have us both out.
Think, Gritpipe, it was all so easy. Now we're millionaires, thanks to Futo, the Wonder Boot Exploder.
And we'll never grow another leg.
Oh, the marvelous leg.
Pardon me, sir.
What is it, Chilvers? Can't you see we're engaged?
Oh, congratulations, sir. I hope you'll both be very happy together.
Thank you, Chilvers.
There's a pyramid in the lounge, sir.
Really? What's his name?
I don't know. He didn't say, sir. He was a tall, bearded pyramid with hieroglyphics.
Come in, do. Now, what can I do for you?
Wait, hands up! I'm no pyramid. This plaster and string fez is a fake. I'm Neddy Seagoon. Thank you.
Bristy, the game is up.
Neddy, can't we talk this over like
normal? Don't come too near. This gun is ready to load. Ah, come on, you swine. Where's all that money gone?
Yes, that 4 and 9 pence you collected from us.
And that blank wall I signed.
That blank wall was a bouncer, sent back refer to builder.
Nonsense. I've got 10,000 bricks in my account. Come on, empty your wallet.
Great steaming lumps of thirk. It's a British wall.
Yes, but the bricks are in French.
Curses foiled by French bricks.
Come on. I want the original wall. We're waiting, Moriarty. Talk and talk fast.
Suddenly.
Rubbish.
But beautifully spoken.
Right. Bind these two scratch hoaxes to the bed rails and stack the tins of their own fiendish boot polish around the base of Moriarty.
Oh. I'll help you.
What's the idea? Sin. Why are you turning on Moriarty?
I've just found his tap.
You can't joke your way out of this. Great pipe. Time up, men. Right. Light the fuse.
Right.
Now, gentlemen,
You've got 3 minutes to tell us where that 4 9 is.
We'll talk.
Blue Bottle, quick, extinguish the fuse.
Here's your 4 9 and your wall, damn you.
Right, you may go. Gloating laugh. So, dear listeners, you see, honesty triumphs over naughtiness.
Shh, please.
What? Honesty triumphs over naughtiness. And in the end...
Captain?
What?
What was that you told me to do?
Told you to... The fuse!
Good evening. Since I last spoke to you, the dreaded boot explosions have ceased. Thanks to the courageous and untiring efforts of Professor Gritpipe Thin and Mr. Moriarty, both of whom are to be knighted. Therefore, as from now, you can all stop walking backwards, put on your boots, and lower your gas stoves to the ground. Heavy, weren't they? Good night.
That was The Goon Show, a BBC recorded program featuring Peter Sellers, Harry Secombe, Spike Milligan, with the Remington Quartet and Max Gilray. The orchestra was conducted by Wally Stott, script by Spike Milligan and Larry Stevens, announcer Wally Screenslade, the program produced by Pat Dixon. We'll be right back.